Doctor, look.
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Hey, everybody. Thanks a lot for hanging around. Well, I guess you're not hanging around. This is the first show. This is the intro to the show, Jason. This is what we got to do. It's Dr. Homebrew. What's going on, everybody? The month is May. The time is now. We're talking about home brewing. We're talking about home brew. And, you know, all the hashtags encompassing those things. My name is JP, and with me, of course, is Brian and Brian. Welcome, Brian.
What's a hashtag?
It's like the pound sign, but it's different now.
Hashtag Brian, hashtag second Brian, hashtag Council of Brians.
Yeah, man, something like that. Let's just go ahead and do that. You know,
you guys all vaccinated? Can we demask here?
Well, you can get a computer virus, and that's actually speaking of COVID. It's not really speaking of COVID, but by the way, if you're listening live on Facebook or watching live or whatever you're doing on Facebook, if you have questions about the beers we're trying, or even just home brewing question in general, and you don't want to wait for Brew Strong, you can put it in the chat. Maybe we'll get to it. So I'm vaccinated, and like a couple weeks ago, I went to a party. I went to my nephew's baby shower, and it was neat. It was outside, but it was like a mix of vaccinated, unvaccinated people. And originally, I had like
semi-vax.
I had like double masked, and I'm like outside, and I'm like, I'm talking to people who I know for a fact are vaccinated, and I'm like, okay, I need to take baby steps. Baby steps. It's like I'm Bill Murray and What About Bob? I got to take baby steps to the door. So I took my masks off because I'm talking to like my brother and I think someone else. And I know they were vaccinated. I'm like, okay, great. And then my nephew comes over and I'm not sure if he's vaccinated. I don't. And then later on, I realize he's not. But like we're talking, but I'm still trying to stay away from people. My other nephew comes up. I know he's not vaccinated because he's giving me a bunch of shit about vaccines and stuff. He's like, I'll go get it right now, man. Are you going to take me? I'm like, no. I'm not going to take you, but I'll tell you exactly where to go. I'll look on my phone right now. He's like, yeah, I'll probably get it. I'm like, you're dumb. Stop being stupid. Anyway.
I'll probably wear a seatbelt going home. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That's the kind of, I play it fast and loose, man. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, whatever. And I haven't seen the kid in like a year and a half. So I'm like, I held my breath. I gave him a hug. I held my breath. I gave my other nephew a hug. And I was like, that's it. So like 5 days ago, I start not feeling well and I'm like, okay, I'm like just freaking out because, you know, even though it would be statistically I would have more chance of winning the lottery and then having my testicles explode with the process of getting all the lottery winnings, right? Like just, they would just burst. Then
like
I would get a COVID.
It cancels the other out there. I mean, right? If you win the lottery, but you have no balls.
Sure, I can buy them.
Good point.
But it sort of coincided. Brian, you picked up beer from me. It was super windy. So I'm like, okay, this has got to be just allergies. Because out here, it's super bad. The wind is just nonstop. And I felt like shit. And then I started feeling worse, but I never had a fever. And I'm like, I got the ear thermometer. I'm like digging into my ear every 20 minutes. Like my ear canals are sore because that's how like loopy I get about dumb stuff.
Poke it down deeper. I gotta get a better reading.
Cause the doctor's like, well, look, you got to do three times in one ear because it's a plus or minus 1 degree on that thing. I'm like, Jiminy Christmas. So anyway, I'm taking Benadryl and then, so I'm sleeping and then I'm waking up and I'm tired and I'm like, I'm tired. But I still have my taste, still have all the, so it was just very calm. Anyway, last night I registered to get a COVID test, and I got my first ever COVID test this morning. Huh. And of course, I woke up and I felt perfectly fine. Like, I feel great now. Yeah. There's nothing, you know.
How'd you do? Did you pass your test?
I don't know yet. But better believe I'm refreshing my fucking email every hour, like waiting for the response. But anyway, I don't know. That's been my like hell for the past 4 days is just like being doped up on Benadryl and anxiety medication. And then like giving myself basically a fever, but I never had a fever. This is a weird, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Bill Maher got it, you know. all these personalities out there, just it's going around. So
yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean, not that you're on a level with Bill Maher or anything.
No, hey, I'd take Bill Maher money. That's fine.
He's fully vaxxed. He got it.
Yeah.
But you know what, JP? You've been so isolated for so long because you really have been just like in your house for like a year.
I take it very seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. So being around anyone, I bet your immune system is working at like, you know, 30% capacity. And all it takes is someone to have like the common cold or the flu, or if there's kids, like my daughter's pediatrician used to refer to the stuff they got as just the yuck because there's like 100 different viruses they can get. And yeah, they're over it in 2 days, but it takes you like a week to get better.
I mean,
Probably just allergies with all this crazy.
Yeah, I think it was just allergies. Yeah. Supposedly, like, grass allergies are super bad this year, and it's just like, whatever. Mm. Anyway, it's just that's been my hell. So today's the first day that I feel really good. I think either I'm used to the allergies or I don't have COVID anymore. So there's that. Whew. Yeah. Anyway, Zach.
It's like your booster shot.
Yeah, right. Zach, welcome to the show,
you
man.
You are so COVID-free. Sorry.
Hey, guys. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. You have an American porter.
Porter, yes.
I applaud that because it's rare that we get just a standard American porter.
Now, I have an initial question about your brew. Did you sanitize and clean your brewing equipment using Star San and PBW by chance?
No.
Oh, no. How do I kick him out? Let's go. Let me. I'm just gonna mute. Okay. Zach, you're muted now, so you can't. God. You can't. I'm just kidding. Oh shit! I actually don't know how to unmute you.
Yes,
unmute yourself, Zach. Yeah, apparently, you have to unmute yourself, even though I was just goofing off.
He's goofing.
There we go. All right, I was just goofing around. Sorry, man.
I did. I was trying to be sly, and that just epically failed.
Oh, you did great.
My bad. I should have caught it.
Don't worry about it. It's all good, man. Thank you, Brian Cooper, for the reminder. Yes, of course, how do we forget about cleaning and sanitizing? It is the number one and two things you got to be doing to make great homebrew at home, in your garage, or you know, wherever you live, at your parents' house. Who knows? Who knows what you guys are getting up to? But clean and sanitize with Five Star Chemicals. Go to fivestarchemicals.com and learn it better than I can ever tell you, which I know is a shock because I am pretty much the penultimate communicator guy person face. So anyway, check it out. Fivestarchemicals.com. They make the show available for you. They believe in the show. They believe in us. Even though they don't really know who we are. They just, no, I'm kidding. So you should believe in us too.
We exist.
Yeah. And then you should believe in Five Star. So fivestarchemicals.com. All right.
And people do have a choice when they clean and sanitize. We're out to make a few converts. If you haven't tried it before, just go for it. Give it a whirl. I used to use iodophore and like just hot water. And that was all I used. I didn't have any cleaning solution when I first started brewing. And for a while it worked fine because that was a brand new fermenter, but after a while stuff happens, you know.
It really does, man.
Who's converted?
There you go. Thank you, Zach.
I remember redemption. Iodophore, unfortunately.
Yeah, gone are the days of stained plastic tubing. Anyway, Zach, American porter, is this your first time brewing an American porter, my friend?
No,
is this something
I've done it a few times.
You've done it a few times? All right, I love porter, and it's usually like whenever we see a porter on the show, it's usually like full of shit. It's like jalapenos or chocolate or whatever, right? So it's nice to get just like, I'm assuming by your label, it's not full of shit. It's just
it's not 20A full of shit, no.
American porter. I don't know the last time I've had a straight American porter. I'm trying to think, like, it must have been Anchor Porter or maybe Sierra Nevada Porter like 2-3 years ago. Nobody makes it.
Anchor Porter is what got me to love porter.
Yes, nice.
Anchor Porter is really amazing.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yes.
All right, well, you've done this a few times, so we're looking to dial in the recipe, I imagine, or just give general feedback. Yep, all right.
Feedback, dial in.
Brian Schaar, why don't you go ahead, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, my friend, since you look like Madonna today with the headset on.
Wow, except the little thing near my mouth is like, you know, not super invisible and whatever.
Well,
lot less hair.
Yeah, put your pants on. No one will see the little thing by your mouth.
Well, I'm not putting my pants on for the show or anything else. So that's not going to happen. Zach, are you in a homebrew club?
Nope, fly solo.
And I love that you are behind you for people that are listening to the podcast later. It looks like your brewing area.
Yep, my garage.
Very cool. Where are you from?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Very nice. Well, now that we've gotten all that stuff out of the way so that people can steal your identity or whatever other stuff people might do.
Have at it.
What is the last four digits of your social? Do you have that handy?
1, 2, 3, 4, I think.
Nice. Okay, good. Write that down, JP. So I like this beer a lot, and for the same a lot of the reasons that JP said, you know, you just don't get a regular American porter that much these days. And you know, it was tasty, and I enjoyed it. Aroma, thought it was very rich and inviting. It was chocolatey, low roast. I got a little bit of a vinous character to it, low esters, sort of a low woody, earthy hop character. But you know, everything melded really well. It was a 10 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance, 3 out of 3. It's very dark brown, but it's one of those that until you hold it up to the light, right? This is black, but it's like Jason's cat. You know, Jason has this black cat, and he was out. I was picking up beer from him the other day, and, you know, it's in the sunlight. Your cat's, like, really brown. And it's the same type of thing like with this porter. It looks really nice. Very clear as far as you can determine. The head is medium and settles to a low, really long-lasting tan head. So that was real nice. Flavor. Initially, the flavor was dark malt, followed by some lingering medium fruitiness. And it tasted like more of a malt origin fruitiness than a yeast ester. And when you get to your recipe later, I'm curious. I'm guessing Special B, but we'll find out.
Hop.
There's no hop flavor, really. That's fine for this beer, but it's not supposed to be a hop flavor showcase. Medium hop bitterness kind of comes up the balance in mid-palate. The malt is roasty and kind of dark bread crust bready, which is real nice. Finish is long and balanced. It's well attenuated. This is the, for people in the Bay Area, and I'm holding up the back of the score sheet. There's a judge named Roger, that this is like the common, when you run out of room and you start writing on the back, you're doing a Roger. There's something to me that's a little, it's very slight, and that's why I kind of wrote this at the end. It's not hard, it's not dominant, but I get almost a slight burned or rubbery flavor. That kind of go as it warms up, and I get it toward the beginning, and it kind of goes away a little toward mid palate, and it could just be me, or it could be something I don't know. But 12 out of 20 for flavor, mouthfeel 5 out of 5, definite warming. I wrote this. I judged the beers for this show and the next show about 3 hours ago. And I haven't had anything to eat since then either. This is kind of the first beer that I have when I'm judging and I haven't eaten for a while. I always end up writing down definite warming. I wonder why that is. medium to high body, medium carbonation, no astringency. I don't know that it's creamy, but I don't know that it needs to be. So, you know, 5 out of 5. Overall impression, I gave it 7 out of 10 for a total of 37, which is very good. I like this beer a lot. I think it really hits the mark in a lot of ways. But there are a couple of things that I would kind of take a look at. First, the fruitiness seemed a little high to me, and it seemed like it was more of a malt fruitiness. I don't know, and we'll talk about it later. If it's a malt fruitiness, that's simply a recipe thing that you can kind of deal with in the recipe. If it was from maybe lack of temp control or yeast variety or something, definitely want to try to keep this or like any ale yeast in its happy range, where it's not going to go out and generate too many fruity flavors. And then this sort of burned / rubbery flavor, you know, that can come from several sources. Weirdly, in my experience, brown malt tends to taste real rubbery. Maybe it's just me, but that can be a recipe issue. The you know, burned flavor can often come from pouring an adjunct like a sugar into the kettle while it's still being fired, and you know, you can kind of scorch at the bottom. But sometimes if it's sat in the fermenter a little bit too long, you get kind of that rubbery soy saucy flavor just from the old yeast. And it has to be a while. It's not like, oh my God, it's been 15 days. I'm going to have soy sauce and rubber in my beer. No, it has to be like a month or two for that to happen. But overall, like I said, I liked it. You know, I'm going to finish. This is pretty much finishing up the bottle that I judged earlier. I'm going to pretty much just drink the rest of this while Cooper is giving his analysis. So thank you for sharing.
Yep, cheers. Good. Thanks. Cool.
Hi, hey, Cooper.
Yeah, the bottle had a nice, you know, good fill, good hiss upon opening. And in the aroma, I got a cleanly roasted malt notes with dark chocolate and medium roast coffee. Not burnt, medium citrusy, resiny hop. I think I got a little more hop than Brian did. You kind of have to dig for it under that, the richness of the dark malts, but it seems like it's fairly well hopped to me. You can go a little higher in the hops for an American anything, you know, how the Americans are. But medium low fruity esters. I'm not getting any DMS or diacetyl. It seems really cleanly fermented and nicely conditioned and bottled and packaged. There's no oxidation, so that's great. A rich dark brown color, as Brian said. I'm pouring in a little smaller sample glass. You can see through the corners really well and see that it's actually nice and clear at the corners. And the head is nicely formed, mostly finer bubbles and creamy looking. It persists quite nicely, kind of a low tan color. Starts low and kind of just stays low and hangs in there with you as you're sipping it. So, yeah, I gave full points for appearance as well. Like Brian, a 10 for aroma, which was really nice, and 3 for appearance. We're matching up pretty well.
Nice.
It comes in the flavor, it comes in with a firm maltiness across the palate first. I'm getting more of a dark chocolate element in there. Somewhat roasty, a little bit of maybe kind of burnt dark malt in the flavor, as can be expected. The porter can have a little bit of a burnt essence to it. Getting resiny hops, kind of medium low, and with medium bitterness, maybe pushing toward medium high a little bit. It's with the dark malts, you know, kind of complementing that hop bitterness, but it's not a massively hop bitter beer. It's definitely a combination here. So that's actually nice. It's playing well with the bitterness. So clean ale fermentation. It stops short of being really burnt, but it's quite roasty for the style, I would say. The balance is definitely somewhat to the malt, and the finish is nice and dry, so that roast kind of hangs out in the aftertaste. It's, again, clean, no off flavors. Roger writes his extra comments on the back of the score sheet. I write them in, you know, just wherever I can, and I jam them in. The edges of the score sheet where you're not really supposed to write, but these aren't going to be seen by anybody, so it doesn't matter.
It's good that we brought it up, guys.
There's definitely some smooth, sweet alcohol here. Well, I don't want to forget to say anything that I caught about this.
No, beer. I got you.
Kind of has kind of a cream, coffee and cream like impression actually too, which is kind of interesting and enjoyable in a way. It's like a little, you know, it's a fun little lot of flavors going on for sure. It's kind of amped up, I guess you could say. Mouthfeel wise, medium bodied with medium carbon dioxide, slight warming, a bit creamy, smooth, no obvious astringency or slickness. Getting kind of a slight oily or viscous kind of character in the beer. That if, you know, Brian was guessing ingredients of special B, that I don't know if I got any special B, but I like, is there like some oats or something in there? It's giving kind of a creamy, smooth mouthfeel impression there. And despite the dryness, it's just kind of oily, viscous seeming, maybe more than it actually is body wise. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm really interested to hear what your grain bill is too.
Yeah.
Four for mouthfeel. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were, I thought you wrapped up there, buddy. Apologize.
Okay. I still haven't even, I'm just starting on overall impression here, but I wanted to say 4 for mouthfeel, 4 to 5, and I gave 14 out of 20 for flavor. We'll see if my math adds up, actually. But yeah, overall, it's a very, very nicely brewed American porter that's hitting a lot of the right notes. It's quite hoppy, but still a pleasant and pretty well to style. To me, it tastes like an amped up version of like a Black Butte porter from Portland up there, or, you know, Oregon. Not Portland. I think it's what is it? Bend. Mm-hmm. With some
terrible beer.
It tastes pretty fresh. You know.
I'm gonna come over there and fight you, JP.
Dude, no, Black Butte Porter is awful. I can't do it. It's too fruity. I don't like it. So man, how dare you disparage Zach's beer like this?
I haven't had it in like 10 years, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but I'm going to go over and fight you anyway.
Yeah, it's fucking gross. Don't buy it.
So, this, I would not say that ever. But yeah, it tastes like a clone of that, maybe some modifications, perhaps alternate grains or something going on, using it to give it that kind of different mouthfeel. You might back off the hops a little bit and the darkest malt just a touch for a little smoother balance. But otherwise, nice job. It's nicely fermented, really cleanly fermented there. And so, yeah, I give it 8 out of 10 for overall impression. And I'll end at a 39 for this one. I'm just a couple points above Brian, but I did really like the beer, and I think it deserves that. There's not a lot you can fault it for. It's mainly just little balance issues, but not big issues at that. So thanks for sharing. It's really good.
Yep. Thank you. Right on. Thanks.
Yeah, I sort of echo what everybody's saying. Brian Schar was saying, you know, rubber or whatever. I see what you're getting at, Brian. To me, it tastes like a little bit of yeast autolysis kind of a thing. Like, in my dark beers, I get this same similar flavor if it's just hanging on the yeast a little bit too long. And I don't know what that, you know, is. But yeah, I mean, I could see like a special beer, like some sort of like heavier caramel malt. Yeah, there is that mid palate thing that hopefully we can clear up a little bit today. But yeah, this is a very good beer. It's very, very smooth. And those chocolate notes hit pretty good. I get some banana bread. And I'm not necessarily like
love that you said it. Now I'm getting that.
Like, I'm not necessarily loving the banana bread. So I think that there may be some fermentation things happening a little bit that maybe don't need to be for an American porter. But anyway, I just wanted to throw my two. Every once in a while, I like to jump in and pretend I know what I'm talking about. So Zach, right, Let's go over your recipe. And we'll start there.
All right. Yeah. It's, just a little over 5 gallon batch. 14 pounds, 2-row American, 1 pound Crystal 80, 1 pound pale chocolate, 1/2 pound chocolate malt, 6 ounces of roasted barley, and that's the grain bill. Mm. And then for hops, it's just East Kent Goldings, 2 ounces at 60 and then 1 ounce at 5 minutes.
What was the grain again? I apologize. 2-row roasted barley.
2-row Crystal 80. Chocolate, okay, and roast barley. Maybe too much roast barley.
Well, I think it's I think Crystal 80 is too high.
Too high?
I think. I don't know. I mean, I've always sort of learned. Well, not always. I don't know what the fuck that means. I always sort of learned. like, I don't know, somewhere midway along my brewing, I picked up somewhere that you sort of blend your two crystals. Like, so if you want an 80 sort of, you know, component, like a darker crystal, you need those rounder, sweeter crystal flavors to sort of, you know, make it a whole thing. So like maybe go Crystal 15 and a Crystal 40. So you get those, okay, sweeter, lighter crystals also, instead of just that, here's that Crystal 80.
Big
because
pound of 80.
Yeah. And you say Crystal 80 and it does sort of smell like a sack of Crystal 80. It's like, it's right there. So I don't know. I think, again, like anything, it's easy to say once you say the thing, then it's like, oh, well, now I can.
You know. Yeah, there it is.
I really like
pounds of Crystal 80, did you say?
1,200.
One. Oh. Okay. Yeah, 1,200.
I really like the blending of the dark chocolate and the lighter, the pale chocolate. You know, the regular chocolate with the pale chocolate makes a nice blend and gives some fullness on that end of things, yeah, too. Kind of like JP's talking about with crystals, you know, you can, yeah, blend, yeah, things and get the whole is better than the sum of its parts or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I think that's right. The sum of the parts is whole of the better.
My whole is a sum of parts.
Yeah, that's what it is. No, you got it. And what about yeast?
Yeast.
I used Imperial Darkness.
Imperial?
Yeah. Imperial, and it's called Darkness.
The Darkness.
The one that comes in the can?
No, not anymore.
No, it's Pouch.
Yeah, they switched a while ago. Yeah.
Did you make a starter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then how long fermentation? What was your fermentation schedule?
I believe I fermented at 64 degrees. It was probably in the keg 14 days.
Cool. What did your ABV come out at on that one?
Higher than I expected. My efficiency. All right.
Damn. Welcome.
It was my day off, and my wife was working. I was like, oh, I'll meet you for lunch. So I got it in the mash tun, went for lunch, came back. It was 2 hours later. It's like, ah. And now my efficiency's higher.
So it's your wife's, it's like your wife's fault.
7.6%.
Yeah, it's beefy.
Wow. I didn't get that. I wouldn't have gotten that.
It wasn't just me not having eaten for a while why I felt warming.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Can go up to 1070, so it's not that, you know, it can go to, like, you know, well, 6.5, but yeah, you don't want to go.
It's like 8 points higher than what I expected.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that sort of accounts for the...
Some sweetness or something.
Well, not even that, but like the egregious flavor profile of the Crystal 80. You know, because Crystal 80 can get like you crystally, but then you get the husky thing and you get the whatever. So like if it was sitting in the mash tun for a long time, just cycling or whatever, maybe the overconversion sort of extracted a little bit too much. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like 2 hours in the mash tun.
Yeah, but maybe it doesn't matter because at some point it doesn't. I've read it's like 15, 20 minutes into the mash and all your conversions
full
happen.
Conversion.
Yeah. You just have to wait for the starches to become, or the sugars to become soluble and like whatever. That's what you're waiting for. So whatever. But personally, I would tackle the crystal malt faction.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a little, I don't know. I don't know what this means when I'm moving my hand in a quarter turn counterclockwise.
I get it though.
Yeah, you get it, right?
You're tackling it with your hand.
Yeah. Shea Comfort from Morber used to just, he would just rub his hands together. They'd go like, for like everything, and then make a fist and rub it on a flat hand. He'd go, you know, and you go, oh yeah, for sure. I have no idea. But somehow that sign language sort of works. I don't know, but they get the thing. So the quarter turn is mine. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
I would definitely back off the alcohol a little bit. You could have probably blended it back with a little more water in the end of the boil when your solid gravity was that high and just kind of dial it back. It's not going to hurt it that much, you know.
No,
you can always adjust at the end of the boil one way or the other. If you have a, you know, a refractometer, it's a nice little toy at that point in your brewing.
What was the OG Nathan in the chat wants to know?
Nathan, in the chat wants to know. It was 1071.
1071, Nate. I hope you. I hope that makes you feel
FG
good.
FG was 1014.
That's a pretty good crash, dude. That's a 60-something points, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good efficiency.
Yeah. Man, I'd be happy with that FG if I started at like 1058. Sometimes, man, you're like, damn. What the fuck?
It's well attenuated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It does sort of dry out, and I wonder if it is like an astringent thing. But then again, I would never have known had you told me that. So, Zach, do you have any questions for the doctor's homebrew or Nate in the chat? I mean, I don't know.
No, I think you guys hit everything.
Hell yeah.
Perfectly.
Your water was good. I think what you did with your water, do you just use your own water? What's it like there?
Yeah, it's tap water. I haven't tested it in a long time, but it's, I don't know. It's pretty light. I just added
Great Lakes
a little,
water.
It's see-through. It's clear.
It's river water.
It's clear.
So I added a little calcium chloride to this one. Actually,
I didn't get any chlorophenol or anything out of it. So yeah, your water is good.
Yeah, we have pretty good water to start from. Yeah. It's a little alkaline, which actually works well with the darker style beer. But yeah. I didn't add any acid. I just added a little bit of calcium chloride.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I think that accented your sweetness a little bit and it turned out pretty nice. So keep on dialing in. If you want to rebrew this one and dial it in even better, we can get it up to a 40 or 45, you know.
Right on.
Yeah, definitely. If you rebrew it, let us know, man. Send it back in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Zach. Well, that's it, man. We'll let you split.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for
coming on and shipping all these beers to various locations and all that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers. All right, later, man.
Take care. Cheers.
Okay. Ya. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to drink more beer on Dr. Homebrew. Everybody, hang on. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, back to the examination.
Hey, thanks for hanging around, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. We are back, and we're talking with Chris. Chris, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Not too bad. You know, just talking homebrew and, you know, having a good time for once. You know what I'm trying to say? You have sent in an English porter. This is the Porter Show, and, you know, look, we don't get a whole lot of porters. You know, every porter we get is usually just full of shit. You know what I mean? That's what I told.
Not only is it an English porter, it's a specialty English porter.
It's what I told Zach and, you know, whatever. Anyway, what is the specialty part of your English porter, man?
The specialty part of it is a caramel mocha, a salted caramel,
Get it right.
It is a salted caramel mocha. English porter.
Okay.
Like by a coffee.
Like a Starbucks drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually, the beans were actually specially roasted, by a company by the name of Iron Bean that I roasted it the day that I ordered and that particular flavor.
Okay. So they add a flavoring to the beans, I imagine. Yeah. Okay.
So it's, they roast them.
Salted caramel mocha English porter.
Correct.
So we should get a little bit of maybe some cocoa, some chocolate, but definitely some caramel, but light caramel because of the salt. Maybe sort of would clean it up, and that's the interesting. Okay, all right.
All that flavor comes from the beans. That's right. Okay, so you didn't add any. There's no caramel. I mean, we've already judged it. You can tell. No caramel. No added salt. It's just
nothing.
Whatever came in the beans. Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of a cool way to do something. It's simple. But yet complex.
It can definitely work, but it can also backfire too because of the oils. I've always read like maybe it'll kill head retention, but I mean, looking at your beer now, it's not really, right. I mean, it's pretty decent. So anyway, let's get into it. Cooper, let's go ahead and do your thing, man.
I was doing a little glass rinse. Is the balance of the beans going to be right for this to make this stand up to the recipe? That is the question. All right. Had a nice, I think one of the bottles that had a slightly high fill. I didn't really check this one, but it was fine. It was, you know, quarter to half an inch from the top, almost up to the little, the ridge there. My fills are a little lower, but maybe I'm just a low filler. I don't know. Anyway, I guess that maybe that can keep, some people fill it all the way up to the top. They don't want any oxygen in there. Okay. Sometimes it comes out fine. I don't prejudge it based on anything like that, but it was fine. It would have passed muster. A light hiss upon opening. So we're judging it as a 30A, which is a spice herb vegetable beer. And getting into the nose, I'm getting a spicy kind of a green pepper like quality jumping out in the nose up front. But there's definitely coffee-like and roast behind that. Some light burnt dark malts, kind of medium low. No obvious hop. I'm getting a little caramel and molasses, and I'm digging for the caramel is hinting at sweetness, but the roast and stuff is kind of pulling away from that a little bit. It's kind of a balancing act there. There's dark, kind of a dark caramel character to it, I guess, with the coffee pulling it to get, you know, towards that side. Seems like clean ale fermentation, no DMS or diacetyl. Light esters only. The pepper kind of lingers, but it seems to be diminishing as I get more other things in the beer. So, but it does, initially it was a little stronger, and then it pulls back just a little bit. It's just kind of a fleeting, maybe kind of a volatile aroma that starts going away as it sits in the glass. Appearance wise, pretty nice, medium brown color with a low, a lighter tan colored head, finer bubbles mainly, and it persists for a moderate amount of time. It's starting to fade a little bit, but it does stick around for a fairly good time. It's not perfectly clear. You can see through it, but there's maybe a tiny bit of haze, not too much. And the flavor here is okay. A lot less green pepper to me. It comes through much more muted, and the style really shines a bit more in the flavor to me. It's caramelly sweet, low coffee, some vanilla-like notes playing off each other really pleasantly. And it finishes fairly sweet and almost like cream-like, I want to say. I mean, it does have that like that creamy, rich, caramelly, creamy impression of a coffee drink. Like a fruity,
yeah,
coffee drink.
Yeah, yeah, like a Starbucks, you know, John.
It's like, yeah, sweet, yeah, coffee, low chocolatey. There's a bit in the aftertaste mainly. Salt is pretty restrained if I'm looking for salt, but you know, as the way you explained it, that's maybe, I doubt they well, I'm maybe they must have dumped some salt in that coffee to make it declare it as such, but. Yeah, the balance is definitely the malt. I'm not getting any flaws here. It's very clean ale fermentation here. So yeah, nicely done. I did like the flavor more than the aroma, I would say, for sure. So mouthfeel wise, medium body, no obvious warmth at all. It's not astringent. It does have a faint burn, maybe from the pepperiness, or I could be imagining that, but I've been known to just grasp at straws and you're going for something. So, okay, it's got a different, unique mouthfeel to it. There's a little, maybe a little bit of astringency from the coffee, just a little bit of a roughness, a bite. Medium low CO2, but otherwise it's quite creamy and smooth drinking, really. A cleanly brewed overall, cleanly brewed, interesting beer that expresses itself best in the flavor to me. Comes across like a little more like a caramel latte with just tons of cream and quite a bit of sugar. Really pleasant, good balance overall. And I get the declared style in there, the you know, the English porter. The base is nicely done and the coffee is blending well with it. I'd say I would like a little more chocolatiness to be a good mocha. The caramel is definitely winning here. But it's so pleasant with that creamy character, you don't really care. yeah, just so interesting when I come into the nose now. So I'll go back to the aroma again, and that green pepper is almost gone now. It's going, you know, it's kind of fleeting. What the first initial pour, when you just dump it in there, just fluff it up, and comes right at your nose, like, oh, spicy, almost like jalapeno, like green pepper. And now it's just like a muted, like blanched, you know, basic green pepper in the background, you know.
I want to hear more about how you fluffed it up.
Well, yeah, you do.
Just pour it. As a judge, you pour it straight down the glass.
And okay.
The center
pour in the glass. Okay, gotcha.
The CO2 comes out of suspension, pushes all these aromas up out of the beer into your nose, and you just several short sniffs, and you get a lot of different notes there. So
Char got a little excited for a second.
I thought it was a really pleasant beer overall. I'm going to land it at 37 on this one. I don't really care for a salted caramel, this or that so much, but it's the caramel is really pleasant. There's not much salt there. If you're, I'm not detecting any real big saltiness in it. Not that it needs to be big, but even to balance. And the just that the chocolatey element is a little bit light for mocha. So to me, it's almost like a, you know, declare it differently, just a caramel latte English porter or something. You know, I don't know. To me, that's what it's kind of expressing like. But mm-hmm. I think it's really pleasant for what it is. It's just a fun beer, and you did a good job with it. Obviously, you know what you're doing, and it's clean. You know, really interested to hear what the grain bill is when we get to that and stuff too. And the,
yeah,
the yeast to use. But let's listen to Brian's comments and hear what he has to say.
Let's listen. Let's listen intently, everybody.
And he might ask you some questions, so get ready, Chris.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Brian Shar, go for it, dude.
Something about Folgers crystals should be in here now, I think. But so, Chris, are you in the Homebrew Club?
No, I'm not.
You and Zach got to get together and have a club. So where are you from, Chris?
I'm from Elwood, Indiana.
Yeah, you guys are like
to college with the guy from Elwood.
We should probably have you guys like swap information. You guys could get together and brew sometime. That'd be pretty cool.
We're like an hour and a half away from.
Is you catch up?
See, we're doing some brewing matchmaking right here. People can get together and brew together and help each other's beer out here. So,
and they both like porters. Yeah,
exactly.
Indeed,
this is like a match made in beer heaven. But Chris, I thought this was a really smart combination because I was kind of going through the process of whenever you're doing a specialty beer and you have a base beer and there's the whole thing about balance, and you know, it was a really smart thing to do to the English porter because English porter has caramel. That's one of the things. It's a flavor characteristic. And then coffee is tricky to work with in beer. When it's done well, it's really good. And when it's not done well, it can just overwhelm everything and you end up with like a mess. This I thought was really harmonious overall, just as an introductory statement here. You know, the aroma gave it 10 out of 12. Aroma is medium chocolate, and I got a lot of hazelnut. I doubt you put hazelnut in here, but I think it's just a combination of the different flavors. And it's just hard for me to not smell and taste hazelnut in here, which to me is kind of a miracle. That I love hazelnut, and, you know, we'll find out later on when you tell us your recipe. But, man, to do that with ingredients that aren't hazelnut is really cool. As it warms up, the hazelnut gets more pronounced. I get, you know, there's definitely a coffee and mocha aroma, very inviting. Again, 10 out of 12. Appearance, 3 out of 3. Color is dark brown with ruby edges. It's not quite as dark as Zach's beer. Zach is still sitting here listening. So I mean, yours is a little bit less, but that's fine. You know, these beers don't...
Mix them together and see what happens. Yeah,
maybe later we will. That's a good idea. But not every dark beer has to look like Guinness, right? It can be a porter and not have to be jet black. It can be brown like this. And in fact, historically that they are just dark brown like this beer. You know, the head is medium, but dissipates to a low level pretty quickly. The sample is very clear. So the oils and the coffee got to the head, still gave it 3 out of 3. And I think it's important, just from the standpoint of judges that are listening to the show, perhaps, you know, some of these things can get tricky when you're into specialty beers or experimental beers. And it can be hard when you're at the judging table to, oh yeah, I need to read this style and that style. But when you read the spice or vegetable guidelines, you know, they take into account that the oils in some of these things are going to affect the head. And essentially tells you shouldn't knock off points because the ingredient causes the head to not be. I mean, there's a little head here. You can see the edge. You can see the edge here for people listening to the podcast. I'm holding the glass up, and you can see like a little bit of a ring on the edge of the glass. You know, but it doesn't. Not every beer has to have, you know, a 3-inch, you know, big pillowy head on top of it, because sometimes the ingredients just don't allow for it. So it's. In terms of fairness to the entrant, I think it's important to be careful with spice or vegetable in some of these categories to be sure you're really understanding what they say, mm-hmm. so you're not knocking points off that shouldn't be knocked off. Flavor gave the flavor 14 out of 20. Initially, the flavor is malty, nutty, hazelnut, dark malt. Some medium degree of coffee comes up right after. There's a low to medium bitterness that sort of just balances in mid-palate, which is real nice. Overall, I think this beer is just super well-balanced. Finish is medium in length. The coffee is a lot more noticeable than the caramel to me, but the caramel picks up in at the finish of the finish, which is kind of interesting. Really well attenuated. I didn't get the green pepper. I got a hint of green pepper, but I didn't get it as much as Brian did. And that's just one of those things, probably like cilantro, right? Different people are sensitive to different flavors and different concentrations. And I'm not doubting that Cooper tasted it or that it was there. I think he made us, I may not be as sensitive to that as he is.
Yeah, mostly in the nose. And it was, again, somewhat fleeting. It was initial blast when I always smell the beer as soon after pouring as I can. And that's just the first impression that I got. And it stuck in there, but it faded. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I always smell it right when it opens also.
Yes, you are.
I just didn't.
Got his ass,
I didn't quite get the green pepper at the beginning myself, but maybe it's one of these things where you're just a little more sensitive to it than I am, and then, that's fine.
The green pepper?
the green pepper.
I got it immediately, but it faded in the aroma for me, but not in the flavor.
And JP, you're more of a coffee guy, and maybe that's a thing that your nose and your palate gets trained to. Because like you roasted your own coffee for a while, right? So you're like really familiar with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at Starbucks, and so they sort of go through the tastings, and I was a coffee purchaser for a while at More Beer, More Coffee. So I've tasted my fair share of coffees. This for me, were you done, Char? I'm sorry.
No, I'm not quite done.
All right, then get done, bro.
Make it done.
I need to perform.
Mouthfeel 5 out of 5. Right. Body is medium, no warming. It's not creamy, but it doesn't have to be. There's not astringent. 5 out of 5. Overall impression, 8 out of 10 for a total score of 40, which is excellent. I think the choice of the salted caramel was really smart. Because, like I was saying earlier, it kind of complements what this beer is supposed to taste like. I never got the salt, but, that's like probably a water chemistry thing. The salt is probably just going to get absorbed into the, it's just going to be like a yeast nutrient or something. It's not going to give you a salty flavor.
We could easily fix that, too. My kitchen's right over there. I got the salt shaker handy. We can see what it tastes like with salt,
Exactly. But, I thought it was really harmonious. I would have liked maybe a little more body. And I think that might have maybe a little bit of like wheat malt or carafoam, carapils might give you a little bit might give you a little more body and might give you a little more head and kind of kill two birds with one stone there. But yeah, 40 out of 50. I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to keep drinking this while we find out more about it. Thank you for sharing.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay. For me, the coffee, I don't know. The flavors are interesting. It is very interesting, but I think the coffee. I'm interested to see how you did it. I feel like it's sort of like a grind in the mash or something like that in the boil, and it's very tannic. Very drying. So I feel like the coffee sort of lost. I think for me, the coffee just sort of transforms into this bell pepper sort of thing. I don't get too much coffee. And I wonder if it's the mocha part of the flavorings or whatever sort of like blurs that line. But I don't get a whole lot of actual coffee. I get a lot of the caramel, which is very interesting. But you can twist my arm and I'll say that there's salt in there. I don't know.
It's like one of those introductory coffee drinks where like they just put a little bit of coffee and then a ton of cream, foam it up. No, I mean, it tastes really good. But no, I was curious because we keep coming up with this flavor too, the green pepper, and talking about it sometimes. Yeah. And I mentioned that we were tasting a specialty porter too. friend of the show, John Palmer. He was actually a guest on our Homebrew Club's meeting the other night. So I had a little conversation going with him on Facebook Messenger. And then I just said, where does this green pepper aroma come from? It was a really good beer. It's detracted a little bit from this specialty porter. And I didn't even say what kind of specialty porter it was. I just said, I thought it was coming from the dark malts, but he said green pepper comes from oxidized coffee.
It's not.
That's all he said.
I think Palmer's wrong.
Okay.
It's not oxidized. It's inherent within the beans itself. There's a compound in there that sort of like has that green bell pepper. Not all beans have it. So it's like, and especially Chris, you said that these beans were roasted fresh, delivered. I'm sure you didn't let them sit out. You roasted them and whatever. So I don't think that it's oxidized. Having a lot of coffee beers over the years and talking about it and doing all this stuff, I don't think it's oxidized coffee. It's either too much coffee or not the right roast level. Sometimes a lighter roast level can bring these things that a darker roast level will cover up. So I don't believe it's the oxidized part.
Yeah.
So
and I started looking too. I started digging deeper on the interwebs, and I found a Reddit that talks about just extracting too much out of the coffee can bring on those kinds of flavors. If you get more than like 20% by weight of the coffee out into the liquid, that's when you're going to start extracting some of those harsher.
You can.
Flavors or whatever else, other harsh flavors.
It's not. It's interesting because like just listening to other brewers talk about it or whatever, I don't know if there's a hard, fast rule. I personally think it more depends on the type of bean, like the origin bean and the roast level. And I think if you have a decent bean like a Colombian, sort of bean like a Sumatra or Colombian or whatever, like a beans that typically get roasted darker, you can put more in there. And you'll be fine at a darker, medium dark roast. But if you're going like a Kenya, which is typically light to medium light roast, if you want to try these blueberry flavors or whatever, I don't think you can put as much in there. But I don't know because I'm stupid. I think, but maybe, really maybe handsome, using, so it just works out.
More coffee for a shorter time might be your friend, and that's something you can.
I think so too. But let's talk about it, Chris. What's up, dude? What's up with this coffee? Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
What's your recipe?
So, first, I'm going to start with the recipe. It was 10 pounds of brewer's malt, 2L, 12 ounces of caramel, 10, 12 ounces of chocolate malt, and then 4 ounces of black patent for a 5.5 gallon batch.
Wow. You used black patent. I didn't even... That was a very gentle hand with that because usually it's so acrid. I didn't get any of that, which is usually why people don't like to use black patent.
Yeah, I use very, very little black patent.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Now onto the coffee. It was fermented with Nottingham yeast. I think it finished off in like 10 days. I racked it off into a keg. In that keg, I had just cold brew coffee.
Cold.
It was 4 ounces of coffee and 24 ounces. This is why I think we made the mistake, is I went for the 24 hours, drained it off, dumped the coffee, refilled it, put the coffee back in. So I think I over-coffee. That's something that I've changed.
So
I'm making it again. With only one pass of the coffee.
So, okay. Well, so here's the other thing. I don't have much experience with cold brew coffee. So you made the coffee and when you drink the coffee, or well, first of all, Chris, do you get the green pepper that we're talking about?
No, I didn't. Okay. I've had a pint of it with dinner tonight, and it's the longer that it sits in the keg, the more coffee-like it gets.
I could see that. So, I mean, it's probably a deterioration of the porter also that's contributing to some of that too.
So I'm going to back it off.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're, I don't know, if you're double cold brewing, I don't know that that's it. Because it in my mind, it's like if you have a pound of coffee beans that you put in the thing versus half a pound of coffee beans that you put in the thing at one time, You know what I mean? If it's coming from one source, I think you might have a more of a chance to get this green pepper thing. But if you have two fresh sources that are small, I don't know that you're going to get that. I don't know. It's too much. Send me the coffee. Send me the cold brew. Let's try that too. Fuck it. I'm just kidding.
Blend once it's in secondary and decide what ratio you want to put in there in secondary.
Yeah. So how much cold brew did you put in again?
It was 24 ounces of cold brew coffee.
24 ounces in 5 gallons?
Yes.
That is a lot. That's 24 that total.
So I probably need to back it down to.
I think you need to back it down.
Like one pass.
And then how do you, and then what's your ratio for the cold brew?
What do you mean?
Like how many ounces of coffee to water?
It was 4 ounces of coffee in the 24 ounces of water.
Oh, JP's really thinking.
I'm trying to think about it, man, too. I'm trying to think about like,
it was a Colombian roast. It was a medium grind.
Okay. Yeah, because it's so. I would try, I mean, I don't know. I mean, listening to some of the shows that we've done on the session with people, they've had success with just, you know, whole beans in the fermenter or like a French press roast and letting those soak in the fermenter or doing a cold brew, you know, on that. So, I don't know, but you're not putting in the thing. So it doesn't really matter. You're doing the final process. I mean, I would back down. Try backing down by like a third, because it is sort of an overwhelming thing. I don't get a whole lot of the porter that Brian Schar was getting.
It's kind of a bold, adventurous thing to do to put a flavored coffee in a beer, though, and just like, hey, let's throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, it's actually being done for the friend of a family that is the roaster. Brewing up a batch of it, and it's being sent to Ohio. And it's going to be in the shop. We're going to give away samples of it.
That's tight. Oh, wow. I love it. That's cool, man. What's the friend of the family roasted the coffee?
Correct.
What's the shop?
Iron Bean. Iron Bean Coffee out of Ohio.
Iron Bean Coffee. All right. Yeah, it's Chris, honestly, man, I think that you have the right take. I think there's too much coffee in it. I think because it's giving such an intense caramel flavor. The only way you're getting that, it sounds like, is from the coffee. I mean, you put crystal malt on there too, but you know, whatever. I don't get a whole lot of the base beer, and that's what I want to taste.
Yeah.
So I think
crystal 15. It was pretty light too. So
yeah. I think 10. You're right. I think you're right.
10.
Yeah.
Now Zach probably has a friend of the family who owns a brewery and could like, you know, take this recipe once you get it finally kind of perfected and brew it on a commercial scale. I'm just guessing here, but maybe
that's something that
some ins and outs. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Tasting this again, it does. It tastes like a candy coffee. Yes. So yeah, dude, I would definitely back this dose out. And what you could probably even do is take the beer, ferment it just normally. And then you can figure out your dosage with the cold brew afterwards, and then just do math. That's how math works, I think. You can just do math, and then you can go, okay, this is how much I need to preserve the beer flavor, but also let the coffee shine through. Because I do think that caramel flavor is a good flavor. Yeah. It is complimentary, so the roaster is doing it justice on that, but I do think I think it might be too much.
It was excellent a week after, and then it just kept getting stronger and stronger.
It's still excellent now, so there you go. But, I've got my 50-50 blend now with Zach's beer and Chris's mixed together.
Jesus.
We're going to see what this tastes like, all right?
Yeah.
What's that score?
Score it, Cooper. Let's go.
As what? Okay.
I'm going to wash everything out with this Pilsner from Crooked Lane, so that's all.
Oh, my God. It's 50-point beer. No.
All right, well, Chris, do you have any questions for the boys?
Really, no. I think we answered all the questions that I was looking for on this particular beer.
Nice.
You said, you know, add a little bit of Carafoam, probably back down the coffee by like a third. Anything else you think I should change on the recipe? because I'm getting ready to brew it again.
Turn it into a lager.
Salted. I would add salt if you declare it as salted, or just take that out of what you're declaring.
Yeah, I wouldn't declare salt because it doesn't add. It's just going to take away from you. And if you add salt, I think it's going to make this beer go a direction you don't want it to go.
I think you're right. Okay. That's very good. Yes, yes. Because, yeah, salted caramel.
There's a reason why you don't add salt to beer unless you're freaking 22 and you're doing it to your friend. And, like, you do that thing where it bubbles over at the bar. I would take the salted out of the descriptor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Well, what I wanted to do is just, you know, put it as a coffee porter, but I wanted to have it a description.
Yeah.
Maybe just, you know, have it simplified.
The caramel adds a lot to it, and that's really key to the beer. Like, as I blended it with Zach's beer, it's not, the caramel is more missing, and it's just like, well, okay, it's just a nice porter with a little caramelly edge to it, but not as balanced. So yeah, you gotta be careful pulling the coffee too far back, because you're gonna weld the caramel strong enough that it'll stand up to that. So
yeah,
and maybe, yeah, I mean, the, I don't know, the,
I mean,
the black patent is an interesting twist too. I don't know that, you know, the way your restraint with it was is commendable, but wow, yeah, that's a dangerous line to tread, I think.
Yeah, well, I think
that's a recipe that I've been working on for probably about 15 years.
Wow.
Well, I wonder if you're pulling back on the patent, you're pulling back on the coffee. I wonder if you're not going to have to pull back on the patent also. And I wonder if the patent is sort of affecting the coffee flavor in a certain way, because it, for me, I've had beers that have too much patent in it, and they taste like green bell pepper. So it might be a combination of those two things. I think for me, I would love to see you do this beer 4 different times to really dial it in, because I think there's a lot of things at play that can throw it.
I think, JP, I think you're really right about the black patent, because it didn't, Chrissy did a good job with being very restrained with it, where it didn't come across like you're licking a campfire, or like ashes, or like it can be even a little bit too much. You can just turn a beer into like, I thought I put all the ashtrays out like in 1985. but you know, there might be some interaction with the coffee that we're just not thinking about.
Yeah. How old is this beer, Chris?
It was brewed on like the middle of about the end of February.
Oh, that's not that old. Okay.
No.
Yeah. I mean, there is also something to be said for coffee beers being consumed fresh. And I know that, you know, as a result of the show, it's hard to like get that, you know, whatever, but you know, as things age, someone in the chat, Paul in the chat, dropped an article we should look at. But he says, green pepper tends to show as beer ages in my experience judging them. It seems to be more related to dark coffees and over-extracted coffees. Yeah, I disagree with the dark coffee thing. But over-extracted, yes. Over-extracted, and it's the extract time, and it's the roast level, and it's the bean. And you gotta find that line. That's why I'm saying, Chris, I think you're going to brew this a couple times to really dial it in.
So yeah, I mean, maybe,
but I think it's worth
almost the same amount of coffee with just less water going through it, and just make a really rich coffee, and then you know, blend it in with that. You're going to get less extraction, maybe just some warmer, just nicer coffee flavors.
The best coffee beer I still will to this day ever had is the Red Hook double fucking stout, whatever the fuck it was. It was made with Starbucks Italian roast coffee, and it was a double strength.
I remember that beer.
It was
and it
good.
Came in that 22-ounce bomber, yes. And that shit was amazing.
It was good. Double strength Italian roast, because Italian roast can be sweet. And this is what I mean with roast levels. It matters, and the beans matter. And it just, anyway, you'll get it, Chris. But brew it again. Definitely. Send it in, man.
Yeah, well, I'll brew it again, send it in. Maybe brew like, you know, a huge, huge batch, split it 4 ways, and then
do it.
Label them and send them.
Yep. Do cool. It, man. We'd love to participate in that.
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, everybody. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up. It's Dr. Homebrew. Hang tight. We'll be back to tuck you in for a long night's, I don't know, whatever.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine, or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
All right, everybody, thanks for hanging on. It's Dr. Homebrew. We're going to wrap things up. Chris, Zach, thank you guys for sending in beers. I really, really appreciate it, man. Brothers.
They're the Porter Brothers.
Yeah, the Porter
Brothers. Brothers.
That's right. That's right. We're going to collaborate on an English-American coffee porter, but really it's going to be a lager for JP because he is cool and hard to please.
Anybody else wants to send us a coffee porter or any other kind of beer or a regular American porter to make JP talk about coffee for an hour?
I'll do it.
Email to Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com.
Fucking threaten me with a good time.
For a while, I was the only Brian on this show, and since we've added a Brian, but he's okay. We'll keep him.
That's right.
Thank you.
But
I spell
my name
right.
Take some more beers. Yeah. We can get some more beers in this summer and have some fun, yeah. You know, coming out of COVID, brew with your friends who are vaccinated and do a collab beer. And, you know, we can have joint entries on as well, whatever. It's all.
Yeah. Whatever you guys want. Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. That is the email addy to use. Brian at thebrewingnetwork.com. We will take mead, cider, kombucha, hard seltzer, soft seltzer. I don't give a shit, dude. Give me soft, whatever soft seltzer is. If you're sending in wine, I like a good rosé. I like a good Pinot. So if you got some of that shit, send it my way. And
fermented vegetables.
Yeah, fermented whatever, man. And if you are sending in wine, I promise you we will get a qualified wine person on to do this. It's not going to be just, pay the $100,000 in shipping to get us. That's not what it's going to be. So send in your stuff. We really appreciate it. Also, listen to everything else that the Brewing Network has to offer. We are still pumping out shows. I talked to Justin today, honestly, for a little bit, which was kind of nice. It was interesting. We're still not ready to get back into the studio just yet, so this whole format is still going to stick around for all of the shows. But soon, hopefully we'll be back together, doing the content that you guys, love. So thanks for sticking with us through COVID, through the lockdown stuff. And hopefully as everybody opens up, everyone gets vaccinated, we can sort of move forward and pretend like this ugly year never happened or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. Chris, Zach, thanks again. I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys later.